Guten Tag. W8F.
Guten Morgen, Sean. NAWRO.
Good morning. Oh, man. Thursday, so it's Friday Eve. All good.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for letting me post that on your FBI network yesterday. Hopefully we get a few more sign-ups.
Yeah, I think most of the folks there that would be interested are, you know, in both groups, but, you know, you never know. I got one guy, he detailed my car for me yesterday, and he's been active in the past with this stuff, and I was trying to connect with him on Discord so that I could send him an invite, but we'll see how that goes.
Well, looking forward to the set. It's all fun. I quite enjoyed the last one, the spring one. So we'll see what this one has to offer with the added benefit of DMR, I guess.
Yeah, I've been following a lot of the chat on that over in the Discord, and pretty pleased seeing everybody figuring stuff out and getting things working and all that stuff. It's a pleasant it's a pleasant change from, you know, people saying, make my $10 radio work for me. But I see a bunch of people all trying to learn it and understand it and get it all running on their own. So pretty happy with what I've been seeing.
For Dakota or Donald there, but that's fun. Boy, did I ever make a bad mistake, but both Jeff and Wally helped me out. Checking a code plug for the event channels, the offset wasn't in there. I swear I put it in when I uploaded the plug, but we looked at it, nope, it's not there. So I'm the guy that had the radio not working, where the new guys, looks like they have theirs. I said we still got to look for John H's, see if he's got the event channel in right, but we'll see. Should work.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what the set's for, right? You know, you make your best effort, you know, and but sometimes not preparing is exactly what the set is for. So, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about it, you know, because, you know, again, that's kind of what the set's for, to figure out what you might have done wrong and how to correct it for it really happened. So. But not bad, you know, just, you know, if you, you know, all you know in this case is that, hey, we're going to operate here. So everybody makes an effort to get their radio up and working on there. There's nothing wrong with, you know, in any given situation, you might have that same exact set of scenarios and you would try to get it done in advance and, you know, so it fits. What's up, Anthony? Talking to Tim. We're just BSing.
Not much. I heard you guys chatting, and I've also been following it in the chat and thinking about how I needed to get back to trying to figure out my DMR radios, because I have them, and it's always been a point of frustration. There's just a few connection points that I think I need to make, and then it'll all make sense. But I just haven't had any time to play with them.
Well, I'm curious. You have that one HD that's M17 Connect Systems. What the heck is M17? Over to Sean, then to you.
I don't think Anthony has that one. Maybe. I'm not aware if he does, but no, Anthony, that's, you know, that's the thing, you know, it's, you're going to need a primer or somebody to kind of, like, you know, guide you along. You're not going to just jump into it cold and figure it out, because there's too many moving parts to a DMR, setting up a DMR channel. You know, you got your color code, and, which is kind of like a PL, and then you got to get the, you got to get the repeater offset and all that stuff. Just like, yeah, it's pretty normal, but then you got to get your color code, your time slot, certain talk groups are on certain time slots, and but you got to get all that information from somebody. You know, it's not like you're going to figure that out, right? And then once you get it in there, then you got to figure out what talk group you're going to be on. So it's just, it's like there's three or four PLs before you get to where you want to be.
Sean was correct. I do not have an M7C radio, but I think, and I could be wrong, and obviously you and I don't know anything about it, Sean might be able to comment on it. I think it's just another homegrown digital mode that some people are adopting. But yeah, Sean, I feel like the way you just explained it, I feel like I just need somebody to run through it, and then I can make some sense of it. Like I said, I just need to sit down and figure it out. I think Wally has offered to help me half a dozen times, but I just haven't made the time to take him up on it yet. So, and I can't remember who the third was in here, but over to you.
Yeah, Anthony, it's Tim up in Richmond, NAWRO. And I did get you confused with somebody else. Somebody else out there does have an M17 Connect Systems DMR radio. It's dual, I guess. So I was going to check that out. I never heard of M17 before. And then, yeah, Wally's been a great help. In fact, when we couldn't get it right, we went off. I gave him a phone call, and I was trying to transmit, and I was telling Sean I didn't even have the offset in the radio. Now, I know I put it in, but somehow when I up to the video, the offset just wasn't there for the event channels. Simultaneously, when we figured it out, I'm looking right at it, Jeff, Central Michigan, SWR, calls down and says, I don't think he's got the offset answer right at the right time. It's amazing. But it's fun figuring it out. It's like a game. Sean?
Yeah, you're not supposed to know this stuff, right? I mean, you know, you learn it, right? And there's a lot of, and there's, you know, DMR's got as many as any. You know, probably the worst one of them all, in my opinion, is D-Star, that one, because it doesn't make sense, whereas DMR, after, I guess it does, you know, so, kind of. There's just some parts that just don't, I guess they make sense, because that's the way it's done in D-Star, but, like, just in general, you know, whereas in DMR, I guess the color code is kind of like, well, why are they doing that? You know, if every repeater's got to have a color code, it's kind of like a PL, sort of, kind of. You know, once you figure that out, then everything else is about the, talk group. You know, you want to use what time slot is it on, and what's the ID and all that good stuff. So, you know, I suppose if you separate what's the repeater and what's the talk group, but you know, the point is that nobody's going to know any of that stuff. So figuring it out is fine, and you know, sometimes just getting an archive from somebody, sending a template, you know, an archive for your radio. You know, and then you can kind of look through it and doctor it to your taste, and you know, so that'll help you learn too. It's not like you gotta figure it all out from scratch, you know. But so I just want to be very clear. I'm not suggesting that, you know, you just gotta sit there and figure it out. But you know, figuring it out includes a lot of help. You know, and I guess that's where I'm going with that, Anthony.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the one thing. When I was trying to put some time into figuring it out, there wasn't a bunch of people figuring it out at the same time, or even that I was aware of using it locally. So, you know, that changes it also, is once I started talking to all you guys and having, for lack of better terms, a community, that's when I really started figuring stuff out, because I had somebody to ask questions rather than just watching YouTube videos, which sometimes just confuses you even more. Over to you, Tim.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It does help having a team doing it simultaneously with you, and then have people like Wally and even Jeff chiming in on Statewide One. He's saying, well, you got to do this. He's looking at some kind of dashboard so he can tell a lot of information. The one thing that took us for a little bit of a loop is he said we should make sure we have it so it transmits when the color code is free. Not just transmit always, but only when the color code's free. And that worked out for certain radios. That was easy, one I have, and Motorola's. But then there's another type. I don't know if it's a Bofang. You probably saw it on Discord where it's polite to color code. And then the other one is impolite. It's like, what the heck? Impolite means it will transmit no matter what. Polite to color code means it only transmit if a signal is not detected on the color code. Well, you get that all down pat, but different brands of radio have different ways of saying it. Sean?
NADMH.
Good morning. Yeah, that's the problem. You know, like, you know, take PL, for instance. It's, you know, it's call guard, you know, by GE. It's PL. It's CTCSS. It's, you know, it's... you know, there's tons of names for that. Now, you know, we all know those mostly by now. You know, we just kind of, you know, blurt them out. We don't think nothing of them. Can you imagine walking in completely cold? You're like, well, what do I got to send my PL to? And you go, oh, 123. So why? That's my call guard. Or, you know, if you're working with a GE radio, or you know, and so yeah, part of it's getting the language down. Good morning, Drake. How are you this morning?
Surviving. And on the road again. Nothing's changed. Color code free, color code impolite, yeah. I've seen all that. And it definitely threw me for a loop, but then I was like comparing it between a Motorola and then the Baofeng, whatever radio it was. And I just kind of figured it out at that point. But I just thought that the naming that the Baofeng used was incredibly stupid. Like, impolite color code, impolite color code, that doesn't make sense. Like, it's called, it's admit criteria, so, like, you would rather it be, you know, always color code free or channel free. Also, never use channel free, you'll hate your life. Ask me how I know. if there is any little bit of interference on that channel, you will not be allowed to key up. So, I don't even really use color code free. I mean... it's there so that way if you can't key up on somebody else that's talking, but I don't know. I just have it set to always just wait a while to key up anyway. Now, if it's like a commercial radio that's for like a commercial customer, obviously sets the right setting, but I preference at that point, you can, I mean, set it to whatever as long as it's not channel 3, because channel 3 sucks. I don't know who else is in here. Good morning, NATMH Mobile.
This is Anthony, KE8RUH. Yeah, sounds like I have a lot of stuff I have to figure out, but I'm going to probably just be listening from here on out. I just walked into the office, so I will catch up with you guys later. I'll chime in if I get a chance. This is KE8RUH. Everybody have a great morning.
Oh, man, I missed Anthony.
Morning, Dakota.
Morning, buddy. Have a good day.
Don't tell him what to do.
NAWRO here. Dakota, go ahead.
Just turn my radio on, heading to work. Had to get the kids ready for school, so I'm running a little behind this morning. So I'll jump in rotation. Whoever's next, go ahead.
All right, Dakota, you got Tim here in Richmond, NAWRO. I guess the topic is DMR. But, Drake, yeah, we're figuring out how to do it, like, best practice in our case for the ARPS people coming on board, because we got some new guys. They all have DMR. HMR radios, which is great. So, Jeff, SWR just mentioned, why don't we just go with color code free? And so we're setting it that way for now so that if we try to transmit on somebody, it kicks us out. Over to Sean.
Yep, and there's a analog equivalent, busy channel lockout. But, yepers, it's all stuff you figure out, you know. And but you're really not going to do it on your own. There's no way, you know, because it's crazy, even if the terminology changing. So, but it's cool you guys are all sitting down and rolling up your sleeves and getting it all figured out and stuff. So, we had a several years ago. We decided we were going to do, because DMR was difficult. We decided we were going to have a primer, and you know, Jeff, the GCAD, and myself, and several other guys. We had a big extravaganza. We just put the word out to the entire ham radio community, you know, that, you know, come here now. We're going to help you. We're going to sit down. We got computers and guys that know DMR. We're going to help you get your radios programmed and set up and all that stuff. And, man, it was a big success. We probably had 50 people if we had one, you know, coming to that. But, unfortunately, everybody just wanted to hand us their radio and program it like this for me. No one wanted to actually learn how to do it, which is what our point was. So, I mean, we did, but it was kind of frustrating because, you know, we were hoping to help people learn. And just in that respect, it just didn't work the way we expected. So that's why I'm tickled pink. You guys are all learning it. Drake, go ahead and pass it over to Dakota.
I have a phone call from headquarters here. I'll be right back.
I would say on the UHF-VHF side, that is my biggest weakness is DMR, the programming and how it all works. Talking to Dave the other day, I want to dive back into it this winter and relearn it, teach myself. Pretty much every time I've messed with it, it's been get it working to the point where I can use it, and that was the extent of it. And being that there's really no DMR in the area, it was really just going into the node, so it wasn't that complicated, but... yeah, I could see how that'd be frustrating. You're offering to teach people, and they're like, well, here's my radio. I want these channels in it.
Yeah, that reminds me of the, you know, teach a man to fish type thing, not to catch the fish for him. But, yeah, I've counted out the sites now, and I think I could be off, but they've added so many. It's like 35 sites, but then I think there's only 17 pairs. So, like, I only have Mount Clemens in now, but I'm going to want to put Detroit in. And I'm up north here, so maybe Burnside. I might be in Burnside's heat signature. I'd like to try that out. And then I got family over in Dexter, so I'm going to try Grass Lake. Sean?
Well, if you put all 17 pairs in, you know, and I don't know what kind of radio you got there, you know, if you set it up for the IP Connect, you know, the site roaming, you know, then you'll never have to worry about it. You just flip it on, and it'll find the repeater, and you'll be good. I know Tom uses that a lot, so there you go. But Dakota, I tell you, you know, one way to kind of like get half of it kind of off your plate is that you know how to program an analog repeater, right? You know, you got to know the frequency, the offset. You know, and on UHF, we know it's always +5. Well, not always, but for all intents and purposes, it's +5. You know, then you got to know the PL, right? Well, with DMR, it's the same thing. You got to know the frequency, the offset, which is always +5 on UHF, and then you got to know the PL. Well, in that case, it's color code. You know, think of color code as PL. Okay, so those are the frequency parameters. You know, you know, just like any other, you know, just think of color code as PL on DMR, and then that's how you get the frequency in. Now you're down to talk group, you know, and then talk group has its own set of parameters. You know, it's like the talk group, you know, number itself, you know, what time slot is it on, and you know, aside from stuff like, you know, the permit or don't permit and stuff like that, aside from that kind of stuff, you know, that's setting up each channel, but you may know that. It may be other stuff you're looking for. And then getting the audio right. I'll tell you what. You know, it's like I'm glad everybody's pretty concerned with how their audio is and being careful not to over-modulate on DMR. That's a biggie.
And you know, that requires that somebody else, one, tell you, and then two, you know, there's a propensity in ham radio for people to get offended. You know, it's like, you know, because maybe you were working on it all day yesterday, and then you get out there and somebody says, "Oh my God, you're so loud." You know, you're like, yeah, you get frustrated. I mean, why? I just worked on it yesterday all day. Well, you know, I mean, the person is just telling you the truth, you know, so you got to be careful not to do that. And I see people backing off. Well, you know, and they kind of pussyfoot around. They don't want to really tell you that your audio's hot. No, you should tell people. People should be glad to hear it. And I know most of us are, but that's a good thing, too. That's a good thing to learn, is that somebody tells you your signal's poo-poo, be happy. Say thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
Go ahead, man.
Go ahead, Drake.
I'm going over to Dakota.
I couldn't agree more with the statement you guys just put out there. So, yeah, that's, this cement truck is using a lot of lane space here. Interesting. what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Audio on DMR is, like, my biggest pet peeve. Like, you'll listen to some people that, you know, have it set right, and then there's this one person that could be, like, super quiet, and then there's this other person that's, like, blasting you right out of the water. And most of the time, I see it with cheap radios, because they don't have an auto gain control setting for the microphone. Motorola's are pretty, like, if you leave it on AGC, it's going to be just about right pretty much all the time. But most of the, I had a TYT MD380 for a while. That I had to fiddle with for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, comparing it to another radio. And, it can be a bit of a process. And then you got to remember to hold it a specific, distance away from your mouth. You got to make sure it matches all your other radios. Otherwise, it's not going to be the same. And yeah. That is another issue. I've listened to people on Fusion, on System Confusion, and nobody there really understands the concept of audio levels. And unfortunately, you'll get some people that have their audio is so hot that it is like so crunchy and distorted, it's hard to understand them, and nobody says anything. And I'm just sitting here like, really? Like, if my audio sounded like that, I would want to know, because that's like borderline embarrassing.
Was that another station?
Just trying to radio check.
No, I'll come back one more time when you catch the call.
WRUW364. Anybody got me?
Jesus. The plague of a $30 Bofang. Stupid GMRS CB is coming up to ham radio.
The Bofang. I know, I think this group's pretty cool with, calling out your audio doesn't sound good or something's going on. Like when your antenna was jacked up, Sean, and, no harm, no foul. It's not like we're like, dude, you sound like garbage. It's like, your gear's messed up or something's not right. You should look into it. And as far as the DMR thing goes, it's not really the programming of the repeaters and whatnot. It's more or less using the radios. The only DMR radio I have right now is an RT3S. And unpopular opinion, I think OpenGD77 sucks for usability. I don't like it at all. And I think that's my biggest issue is just navigating the radio itself, trying to get to talk groups, private calls, all that crap. I'm pretty familiar with the 878. I might pick up another one of those this winter to dabble with DMR, but not a fan of OpenGD77. That's kind of been my biggest frustration with DMR to this point.
Hey, I'm going to send you in. If you can find a Motorola for a decent... Oh, rip that squirrel. If you can find a Motorola for a decent price, go for a Motorola, man.
We're kind of labeling it the Delta standards.
The programming is kind of about the same.
And then I think...
terminology is actually
coming in
a little bit more
or usually the signal is
refined,
you know,
and actually makes sense.
Usually a little heavy.
You just got to know what you're doing. but man, when I pretty much only use Motorola's on DMR now. I haven't used. I don't think I have any cheap DMR radios anymore. I've gotten rid of them. I have one exception. I have this little 2-watt, $15 UHF radio. It's I forget the brand. It's like this tiny little thing that push to talk buttons on the front. They don't sell them anymore. I don't remember what the name is, but it's this tiny little thing. It's like 2 watts. It's got this little rubber duck on it. You can't take it off. It quite literally looks like a kid's cheap FRS radio. But it charges over USB, and it fits in literally any pocket, and somehow it supports roaming. And I use that maybe every once in a while. Unfortunately, they don't sell them anymore, because I would tell you to go get one, just because it's cheap and it's kind of cool. But, I don't really have any cheap radios anymore, but, yeah, man, if you try a Motorola, trust me, you will never go back.
Go ahead, Tim. Well, I do enjoy the Kinect systems so far, and I guess I've been told it's sort of like a Motorola clone. So far, so good, but, you know, I've only had it for a few months, so we'll see. And then, the other thing I was saying about DMR is some people are coming in on Brandmeister. That part I don't quite understand. They seem to come in on Brandmeister, and that sometimes they're pretty hot. But yeah, I don't understand that part. Over to Sean.
Yeah, we've always had that problem when we had the P25 network on P25NX, and we opened it up for hotspots, and people coming in don't know what they're doing, and you know they were terrible, and it was the greed, almost the last of us repeater owners that, that's it. We're not allowing hotspots on the network. And, straight points out Motorola equipment, Motorola repeaters, et cetera. None of this junk, no hotspots and crap. It's one of the allures of P25, of course, but, in general, that's the low hanging fruit. You get a $30 radio and a couple of videos, and next thing you know, you're all over the world on Brandmeister, and that's both great and horrible. So, what are you gonna do? Speaking of Motorola radios, who's familiar with the R7? I guess John's got one, and I was looking at a radio I'm pining for right now, Motorola APX Mobile, and I saw one, and it's still a little pricey, but the guy has a lot of stuff, and including R7s at what I thought looked like a pretty reasonable price. I'm familiar with the 6550s and 7550s and all that, but I'm not familiar with the R7, and I may have to get one. So I guess, Dakota, I guess you'll get it next pass it to Drake, but... if somebody knows about the R7, I can talk to John, obviously, and I'll bet Drake probably knows a bit about it as well. But I think Dakota's up, and then you pass it to Drake.
NADBF. Real quick, I'll let you guys carry on with that thought. So, am I hearing this right? There's 17 pairs of DMR now, or am I missing something?
You want to handle that, Tim? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what I was told. I got the list out front of you. It's on the Central Michigan site, and how they've been adding sites. So we got, what are the new ones here? Sault Ste. Marie, Petoskey,
Mackinac, I guess they're calling that levering. But, you know, Drake could probably speak to this a heck of a lot more than I could. But, yeah, I was told 17 pairs. But then again, there's some magic number in Motorola, about 16. You can't exceed 16. How about we turn it over to Drake? Maybe he can respond.
I don't know, man. I don't do a whole lot of PsyConnect stuff. The last customer that we had that was PsyConnect actually just switched over to 800. So all the stuff we've got is Cat Plus and or they're conventional. So I genuinely, I mean, I know how to program a repeater for PsyConnect. I know how to program radios for PsyConnect. But as far as the limitations, I'm not very sure because we've never worked on systems that big. So, yeah, I don't know. As far as the R7, it's a cool little radio. It looks a lot like an Apex N30 or an N50. Functions kind of similar. It's basically a DMR version of an Apex N30. The only thing I hate about it is that you have to connect it to Wi-Fi to regionalize the radio before you can do anything with it, because it registers with the Motorola server to tell the radio, hey, I've got these features, enable these features and these features only, and all that sort of stuff. But other than that, it's a really cool radio. It's got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Now, it's got Wi-Fi if you purchase the Wi-Fi enablement. So it's a neat radio. It does all the same, as far as DMR, it does literally the exact same stuff as the 7550. You can order audio playback, so you can press a button and it'll do like an instant recall recording. I don't know what the limitation is up for the time. I haven't tried that. But it'll do the instant recall for analog and digital. The only thing that's really annoying is they changed the programming cable. So you got to get a different programming cable. It's not the same as the XPRs. It's different because, of course, it is. It's got a different battery. It's all this, yeah. But it's a pretty cool radio. And a lot of our customers are getting those now. I think, yeah, it's pretty much a replacement for the 7550E. And then you got the R5 and then the R2, and the R2 is the Turbo Lite, it only does DMR conventional. It doesn't do Cat Plus or PsyConnect or anything like that. So, if you can splurge for an R7, go for it. They're a pretty cool radio.
Dakota, that answer your question?
Warren just dropped, so I'm on UMP, and I'm not anywhere near it, so hopefully I sound okay. Yeah, good enough, and I heard Burnside mention, pretty sure I can hit the GMRS repeater in Mayville from my base station, but I don't know where that repeater is located exactly. So that's kind of cool, though. If that network continues to grow, I mean, I've really never done anything digital. I've got D-Star everything, and we all know that doesn't get used.
You, D-Star.
Yeah, I would concur. So I just walked into the shop. Let me just finish up by saying, Tim, I think you're right. I think there are 17 pairs reused throughout the state. I think the 16 limitation is more about zone channel assignment, channel selectors, things like that. I don't think there's a, I don't know, but I don't necessarily think there's a 16 limit on the IP PsyConnect. I could be wrong, but I think that's more about if you wanted to put all 17 in one zone, you can, because zones are 16. So I think that's where the 16 comes into play. But you could still have all of them programmed, I think, in IP PsyConnect. That's where it gets a little fuzzy for me. All right, anyhow, one final thing, Drake, on the R7, and then I got to get out of here. I just walked in the shop. You said you have to connect it up to Wi-Fi, and you got to register to enable the features. Is that a one-shot deal, and then you're done, or does it have to, like, if they end the life of the thing in 5 years or 7 years, Are you looking at a radio that doesn't work anymore? Nothing like that, right? Once you've gone in and enabled whatever's enabled, are you done?
Yeah, I'm starting to get towards the end of the repeater here. Once I drop down, I'm going to lose it. But yeah, it's just a one and done thing. When you first power on the radio, it's gonna say that there's nothing in it, and it's just gonna go. You're gonna have to connect it to the motor, a SSID called Moto Turbo, and then I think I forget what the password is for it. But you don't want to give you all that info. Yeah, it's just a one-time deal just to tell the radio, I've got these features, you can use the radio without Wi-Fi and everything. It'll be so. All right, guys, dropping down the hill, and then I'll be off.
Dakota?
All right, John, Drake, have a good one, guys. And the Moto thing, I've looked at them, but it's a tough pill for me to swallow, mainly because either the mobiles are UHF only, which is fine. That's pretty much all I ever use, but there are some VHF machines out by me. And then HDs where I'm at are just virtually completely useless, so it's hard for me to be like, yeah, I'll spend Moto money on a radio that'll hardly get used.
I like that. Moto money.
Morning, Tom. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. In Dakota, I got an XPR 4500 VHF Motorola. You want it?
To be honest, I don't even know what that is. And the VHF machines I use are mobile or base station only, because it's Lapeer and Mecca.
Okay, I heard you saying that you don't have any, you do mostly UHF, VHF up on you, so just let me know, I got one. Go ahead, who's next?
Yeah, it's me. I'm still here. Yeah, Tom, you tested last night, too. There's so many people on Event 1 for a second there. I think you had a good test, right?
100%. It was yourself, Wally, John, and myself. And I think Jeff was out there, maybe. But yeah, it went through pretty good for Event 1.
All right, we'll keep working on it. I'm going to drop out, guys. Good conversation this morning. Tom, I'll be on Statewide 1 today, probably. And then John has the net, and I'll be his backup tonight on 7.2. NAWRO, I will listen out.
Sounds good. 73 Dakota, 73 Sean, 73 Tim. And I'm on the west side today, and see if I can get back here before the net. KTKTO mobile monitoring.
NAWRO from NADVS, 73. And, Tom, I got a little bit, 7 minutes, just now getting on the whole road here.
Okay, good. I got 3.6 miles.
I have 4.4. So that statewide is really perfect for you because you're bebopping around Michigan all the time. There's all kinds of stuff for you to use.
Oh, 100%. And then all I do is just add it to the channel pool when they put up a new tower. And then I just keep going and going and going. Yeah, I've only found a couple dead spots on it. Besides that, it's got some pretty good coverage for KMR.
There's really nothing by me, though, is there? Aside from Burnside?
I think that's Burnside. Where's Mayville? Is that up there by Flint? And, I have to look now. Yeah, I think there's Flint, Burnside, and Mayville are the three main ones by you.
So if I swapped out my 2730B and put in a DMR mobile unit, I should be able to hit those. I can hit them on analog, and it's pretty clean. So then I'd have to get a DMR mobile.
Yes. And I got the TYD MD9600. My coworker's using that for GMRS right now. But you know, I got it at a pretty good price. I mean, usually about $250. I got it for $100 used. Came from WBA's estate. And on that one there, I just flip it around. You know, and depending on where I'm at for GMR, but now that I got my Motorola mobile back, it does it through the roaming. It doesn't look like something like what Tim has. He's got it connected, and that thing's pretty awesome too.
That's where my ignorance is. I don't really know. I know there's, I mean, I know if I get a Moto radio, it's going to be UHF only, because I'm not spending a bazillion dollars. It's just which one and in which modes, and does it have a detachable faceplate and this, that, and the other thing. So, to be honest, I haven't spent a whole lot of time looking into it because I know they're expensive, but it seems like that's kind of the route everyone's been going. What mobile do you have?
I have the XPR4E550. It's UHF only, you know, UHF, digital UHF. And I am pretty well pleased with it. Doesn't come with a detachable faceplate. You know, it doesn't have a control, you know, one that goes in a trunk or anything like that. But she does pretty good. I love her. And I only picked her up for, my first one was $150 I got from Wally. And then that one decided to, you know, go to bed on me. So we found another one and got this one for $100. And this thing's beautiful. If you talk to Wally, he might be, he'll tell you where he got them from.
Well, that's a very palatable price.
I think the most I've seen one is maybe $150, but you know, I could be wrong. They're no more than $150. I know that.
Well, I will go eBaying today and see what I can come up with.
And the power cords are easy to come by, and all you need is a UHF Mini PL239, and you get a pair of those for like $6 on Amazon.
I'm just very picky about what I put in my truck because I like the aesthetic. Although the thing, I don't know, I might have to take this in. I keep hearing a squeak. It's weird. I can't tell if it's my transmission or a belt, but I'm going to say it's a belt.
On your truck?
Yeah, if I'm coasting and I just barely tap the gas, it's like a little chirp, like a squeak. And then if I was just driving, I can't remember what speed I was at, but a certain speed, it just, it's constant. So, I don't know if it's a belt or if it's a U-joint, I don't know. But it's a rental, and I don't care. I'll take it in and fix your stuff.
Is that when you're constantly driving, or is it only when you accelerate?
Only when I accelerate at lower speeds. It's weird. Like, if I'm driving through, like, downtown and I got the windows down, I can really hear it.
Check the belt tensioner. And, one, it could be your belt. Your circuit key belt might be, depending on how many hours or how many miles are on the truck. If it's a tensioner pulley, you'll hear it a little bit more, so basically you've got to stick your head in the engine. If it's a hub, oh, you'll hear it constantly, and it sounds like a squealing noise. Very faint until it starts dying out.
I've pretty much just been waiting until it gets worse so I can take it in and make sure they can, you know, replicate the issue since they never can, and then I'll let them deal with it. Truck's under warranty, so it's all good. I'm at 25K. It's not like it's got that many miles on it, so I'll let them deal with it. But on that note, I just backed in, so I'm going to clear out, jump inside here, and do a little shopping. So I'll catch you later. Safe travels, and maybe I'll catch you on the ride home. NADBF, clear for yours.
Sounds good. Keep me updated on that. I want to find out what it is. 73, have a good day. KC8, KGO.
KC8KGO, KE8WOJ.
Morning, Rick, KC8KGO. I only got a couple minutes before I eat. end of the rope.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. I just had one quick question. Earlier you mentioned a net meeting tonight. What time and place there? I'd kind of like to listen in.
You're talking about the net meeting tonight? It's at 1900 hours, 147.2 negative offset PO100.
Is that the Mount Clemens repeater?
Yes.
Okay, sir, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Take care. Have a good day. Maybe I'll catch you on statewide one. TEWOJ, I'll be clear.
TEWOJ 73. Hey, have a great morning, TC. Thank you.
CQ, CQ, this is VK2WJS, Victor Kilo 2, Whiskey Juliet Sierra. Name is Wayne, portable from Cyprus, Limassol, Cyprus. Anyone listening, please come back. VK2WJS. CQ, CQ, this is Victor Kilo 2, Whiskey Juliet Sierra. Victor Kilo 2, Whiskey Juliet Sierra. Calling CQ, CQ on repeater from Limassol, Cyprus. VK2WJS portable, VK2WJS portable listening.
KC8VFU. On an ACMH repeater.
Station calling CQ. I did not catch your call sign. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Papa Zulu, in Mount Clemens, Michigan, United States. Negative copy on station calling CQ. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Papa Zulu, clear and monitor.
I'm the walrus. Cuckoo, ka-choo.
I am the turtle.
You bet your sweet ass I am. Oh, you are. Did you look up International Association of Turtles?
No, I got squirreled out and forgot to look it up. Give me a minute.
Where was Phil? I'm on P25. Is he on statewide? I can switch there.
No, I'm on my repeater. I just got in the car and heard you say something about turtles.
Okay, maybe that was just you on a background radio in Tom's car. I heard your call, your old call, hopefully. But anyhow, all righty. Where am I going here? Let's see. Okay. Anyhow, what's up?
Not much. There was somebody, I couldn't tell who else was in there. I just caught the very end of, when the car powered up, the very end of the transmission about turtles. So, anyways, just going to work. We got a field trip today. I'm going to go over to a place and try to convince them to upgrade to a new digital repeater, because their old analog one is having issues.
Well, there you go. Sounds like a plan. What was I going to get with you about besides the laundry list of things we got to do anyhow? Are you in any way pulled in on this logging recorder thingy that Snafu and Lennox?
No, I'm not involved with that at all, and I don't think I want to be. At least she hasn't asked me to be.
All right. So, are you familiar with it, though? Are you, is it, can you... You got it. Are you aware of it? That's, I guess, I just was going to give you a rundown, but if you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I know what it's about. There's a little server there, and there's a recorder and whatever, apparently. It's not recording or something, or it's, I don't really know what the exact issue is, but I know there's a problem.
Yeah, so anyhow, Mickey went out there, the SSD drive in it went bad, corrupted boot sector, so he got a new one from Micro Center. He was able to re-image the thing and get it all back up and running, so with a new drive. So they're all set. They just kind of like, we're just not sure who to bill, so, but anyhow, I don't want to get into that, it's work related, so, and, I don't know, I'm not asking for, for you to comment on that. We're at that point now, we're all done with it, it's all working, and then we're just trying to figure out who to send a bill to.
Yeah, sounds like phone calls in order, so, all right, this place we're going to today, somebody had told them, the guy who I guess was the previous owner at the company had told this place that their antenna was bad. So I've got my analyzer with me to test that, see if that's true. And, if the antenna's good and they're having problems, then we're bringing along a demo repeater to see how that would work.
All right. Yeah, very good. There you go. Check the antenna, verify, and go from there. But how old is it? What kind of repeater is it? How old is it?
I have no idea. So I'll find out when I get there. I mean, it's probably a 10-wood but it is, I'm pretty sure it's analog, and they're trying to convince them to go to NXDM.
Yeah, I mean, digital for the sake of digital, I always question, but if there's a reason, you know, then why not? Where am I at here? Okay, trying to take the back roads down to our road commission, and all right, I think I'm on the right road now.
Okay. It was interesting, you know, I was out basically under the Mount Clemens repeater yesterday. So I was transmitting on this frequency and, you know, hearing myself come back way over there on the east side, and I was surprisingly hearing really well. I was shocked.
You were on yours? But you were in Mount Clemens? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I was just testing. I was, like I said, I was right, basically right under the Mount Clemens machine, so I could hear myself coming back. And it was extremely copyable. Little noise, but that's a long distance.
Oh, yeah. I've ran it, you know, up and down Grossbeck and you know, here and there, long 59, and yeah, it works pretty well over here. So, really, it's a matter of handheld coverage, you know, and you can always find a way in with handheld coverage. We got a lot of overlap, too, when the two systems are linked, so there's that.
Yeah, I think if we can get that site we're talking about, that might help reduce the overlap.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, I could even see, you know, if I could get some sort of receiver performance up here in Mount Clemens, it might even be best to leave the two systems unlinked, you know. And it's the biggest thing is that Mount Clemens fills a real hole for us. Well, Detroit is awfully good, too, but I can work on that. Anywho, yeah, we'll see. But I can see in the future having the two of them unlinked.
Yeah, well, you're right about there being a hole there, because I was talking on the .6 and it got uncopyable for a while. And I said, oh, wait a minute, I'm in Mount Clemens. And I switched over.
Yeah, I got several ideas for that. You know, one thing I want to do is I want to switch over to RTCM voting system, and then get something out your way, and then something up here, and something down in Detroit, and I think I've got a little bit more oomph available on the transmit side. So add in those satellite receivers and, you know, and gussy up the transmitter a little bit. It might be. Everything we need right around here. I don't know. It's all work, and it doesn't come free, so there is always some cost. All right, anyhow, I'm pulling in here. I found my way. I took the back way into my road commission. I got to go back. One of my tower sites is located on road commission property, so I'm meeting an electrician here in a few minutes to get a quote for some work I need done.
Okay. Just curious. Who's the electrician? Just curious to see if I know him.
I think this one is, oh, God darn it, what the hell is their name? There's like three of them I reached out to. One of them I already got a quote from is Custom Electric. They're out of Brighton, Wixom. I got Motor City and Centerline Electric to quote. They were outrageous. And this guy is Electrics or something out of Harrison. I'm forgetting the name.
No, I do know Motor City and Sentinel, and yeah, they are expensive. You're right about that. Anyways, I don't know the other ones. Anyways, so we had lunch yesterday at this Polish place, Polski's, or Versailles. You ever been there?
That's the back way where I'm going. I just passed it.
No, I was saying I was right in your backyard. But have you eaten that?
No, I think I've been there when they were something else, maybe once a very long time ago. But no, I've not been there under its current banner, and nor do I remember anything about it previously. If in fact I'm correct, I was there.
Well, if you're into Polish food, it's very good. Deb Haney and I split this Polish platter. It was more than enough, man. It was more than enough for two people. And it was pretty good. Enjoyed it.
Oh, very good. I'll have to keep that in mind. Whenever I'm feeling like the poo-poo platter, I can go there.
Yeah, and you can get, no, I don't think they have that. I don't think they have duck blood soup, which is apparently a big staple. So they did have dill pickle soup, which I did not have, but I understand people really like it.
Oh, yeah, no, I love dill pickle soup, and I do not like Shanina duck blood soup. I do not care for that at all. But, very good. You know what? I'm going to park right here and wait for this guy so that he doesn't get all confused. You got to drive through a DPW yard to get to my tower, and he might get a little freaked out. So, anyhow, yeah, I'll have to put that on my agenda and give it a try. I do, every now and again, I do like a Polish platter. Although it's not quite as, not quite as big a deal to me as some. It's like, I like it. So, but every once in a while, I get a hankering. You know what's really good is that Polish market at 15 in the Quinter. They've got hot foods you can buy at a counter. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen it, but I've never been there. Yeah, this plate had a couple kinds of sausage. It had stuffed cabbage, which I think is, what do they call it, glopki or something like that. It had sauerkraut, which I don't like, but it had boiled potatoes. What else did it have? It had some, it had some pierogies, your choice, and this was something else. I can't think.
Well, city chicken is usually popular on those. You always have kielbasa, pierogi, galumpki. What else would you have? I'm thinking maybe it was city chicken.
No, there was no chicken. Oh, I gotta grab the titular KDPR.
Yeah, there's no chicken in the city chicken. All right, later. WAFU.
WAFU, KE4ZYQ.
KE4ZYQ from WAFU.
Sean, I got to say, as a serious, sincere compliment, any electronics, especially these repeaters that you link up and do things, you've got the touch. And this repeater is an example of how clear, how working, how connected it is with whatever link you got. My compliments to the chef, as they would say in the food business.
Well, thank you, Joe. We have some advantages over the average Joe. No pun intended. And hold on, this might be the guy I'm looking for here. Hold on.
Yeah, my guy is here. He looks a little confused, so let me, I got to deal with this.
All right, you have a good day, and be careful, be safe, be happy, and enjoy the day. KE4ZYQ, Claire.
All right, Joe, yeah, my guy is here. He's a little confused as to where to go, so let me jump out of here. WAFU.
WDAKOL. NAJ Mobile.
Where are you going, N8NM?
Heavens to Murgatroyd, N8NM, NAJ. I'm going to Costco to get some water and shit.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they got nice restrooms up there. Just heading back home, had to drop something off at the post office, and gonna go home and get a cup of coffee and see what waits for me next.
Yeah, very fine business. I actually got set up here in a mobile. I got my little FT65, and I got a little speaker mic that came in yesterday for it. And I put a magnet mount on top of the Jeep, so I'm gearing this up for hunting in a couple months. So today's test day on the freeway, hoping that this magnet doesn't fly off.
Yeah, they don't work real well after they do that. Even if you put a tether on them, it just don't work. I tried. Sounds good, though. Haven't heard you on the radio for a while, but audio's good, loud and clear signal. Fine business, old man.
Very fine business. I was on 75 last night, talking on the 11 o'clock net, like I usually do. I haven't been on HF in a while, but yeah, as far as like mobile, sometimes when I get on, no one's around, but that's okay. So I want to try to make this a little bit more permanent. I understand that Radiotomy, whatever that company is, they're coming out with a all-in-one handheld dual-band radio that I'm really interested in. And if it looks good, I like to permanently install it in this vehicle. So this way, I don't have to rely on the handheld so much. Because I always wanted to get a good dual band for the car. And, you know, I don't have the FT90 anymore. I was thinking about the all-in-one thing.
Roger. What do I got in this thing? Little bitty thing. What is it? Anytone 885, something like that. Just dual band FM. It was like $100. It wasn't that expensive. It's not the greatest, but it works.
Pretty good. So is that like in your little truck?
Yeah, what I did is I mounted it to the bottom of the ashtray, and I got a power pole on the power, and so if I'm going to be gone, I can just
pull the ashtray out and disconnect the radio, bring it in the house. Don't have to worry about it. But I liked it. It was small. It doesn't take up a whole lot of extra room. It, you know, totally fits under the ashtray there and works out okay in this old piece of junk. Anyhow, I am pulling up in the driveway, so I will say 73. Sounds good. Looks like I have a box on the porch. Catch you later. N8IAJ, N8NM.
I'm business, Steve. We'll talk soon. Enjoy the rest of your day, old man. N8NM, this is N8IAJ. W8FU. Hey, John, how you doing? KE8WOJ. I'm doing all righty. Just left a stop. I think I'm going to get some lunch and then might finish out the day from home. I got a bunch of computer work to do, and I can either drive 40 minutes to the shop just to crack out my laptop, which is right here with me, or I can drive 10 minutes home, crack out my laptop, and start working and doing the exact same thing. So I think I'm going to finish out the day from home, which ain't all bad. Oh, heck yeah. I would work from home as much as possible, that's for sure. You know, it's weird because I could pretty much work from home as much as I want. I mean, I think if I did it excessively, it would become an issue, but I could certainly do it a couple days a week, if not three. I don't know. That seems to be less, enjoyed than it was at the height of COVID, but I could get away with at least a few days, and I just don't because it seems like there's something missing, you know, working at home when you're trying to work with a team, you know. So even though I can, I hardly ever do unless circumstances like today work out. I think last week I had to go to Lansing, and I didn't have to be there till 2, so that meant I had to be on the road about noon. So I wasn't going to run all the way up to Mount Clemens just to come all the way back down, hop on 696 or whatever. So I did that day. I did that too. So I do it as a matter of opportunity now.
Yeah, and maybe I'm full of beans, but it kind of sounds to me like you enjoy your time in the car and on the radio.
Yeah, I actually wish I had more time in the car on the radio, because I got so much less now than I used to. I've been dragging my feet. Hey, are you getting one of these sheets out your way? They're popping up all over here in Macomb County. They're talking about one right here. I'm driving by. They got the property all raised. Now it looks like they're moving forward with it at 12 Mile and Mound. And there's another one going in at like 13 and a half in Van Dyke. There's one going in at Gratiot and, you know, in Roseville. I've heard of, you know, several of them, but they all seem to be over this way.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that over here, but to be honest with you, I don't get out a whole lot. I go to the drugstore for prescriptions and Meijer and Walmart for groceries and doctor's appointments, just about it. Once in a while, I think about joining you guys down there at your cozy cabin, but usually by the time I remember, you guys are just about done there.
Rod, we do a more intimate one on Sundays.
it's a smaller group is what I mean, and I don't mean, you know, it's not anything, you know, it's just, they're all hams, you know, and it's out there to try to make it, because several of the guys are out that way, Phil and Steve and Don, and he has to come from Farmington, but he can come straight north and straight south, so I'm about the odd duck on that one, so instead of everybody coming down here in my neighborhood, I shoot out that way, and we try to find somewhere out that way. So that one might be easier for you on a given Sunday.
Yeah, Roger, you had me kind of scared there when you said intimate. I was like, uh-oh, what might I be getting into here? I'm just sitting out on the porch here having a cigar, and I'm waiting for another radio. I got another Anytone coming, the D168UV.
Yeah, all right, cool, good deal. I've got one of those, the UV2 Plus or whatever. I don't know, I can't keep track. They keep adding numbers and names and stuff like that on them. Anyhow, I got to jump out here real quick. A stop came up on me very quickly. I'll be back here in about 5 if you're still around. W8FU.
Okay, catch you later. K8WOJ.
N8IEJ Mobile.
N8IEJ, K8WOJ.
K8WOJ, N8IAJ. Name here is Mark. Mike Alfa Romeo Kilo.
Hi, Mark. Nice to meet you. How are you doing today?
Actually enjoying the day, making some drive arounds and picking up stuff and trying to make my way back to the home to TH QSL.
Yes, sir. It's always nice to get back home. I am sitting on the porch, getting fried by the sun, enjoying a cigar.
One of my favorite hobbies. Hell yeah. Well, hopefully I can partake in that probably later tonight with an adult beverage.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I got too old for the adult beverage. I didn't give them up kind of thing. But I still hung on to the cigars.
Is that Mark?
Si, senor.
Hey, I was just telling them about our intimate encounters.
Wait, son. I set up my walkie-talk. Mobile. I got myself finally a magnet mount for my antenna after all these years. So I'm riding around testing it out today because I'm going to wait when I go up north in November.
Roger. You must not have been listening when we were talking about breakfast and I was explaining we do a more intimate breakfast on Sundays occasionally out his way. So that's what I was referring to there. I was just making a joke back on that. Anywho, I just jumped back in here. I had a stop, unexpected. I said, ooh, I forgot I had to go there. But now I am making the final approach to home. So I will say hi, Mark. Bye, Mark. And see you, Greg. We'll be back in here in a little bit. W-A-F-U.
Okay, Sean, take care. We'll catch you later. And it's Rick over here on this end. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, very good. I'm trolling through borderline Farmington Hills, West Bloomfield, trying to make my way over to Orchard Lake so I can head back to the house. I got to stop at the bank. Anyways, yeah, gorgeous day today. If it holds out, you know, later this afternoon to this evening, then that's going to be my take of to be outside with my cigar. My favorite brand is Arturo Fuente.
just real quick. Sorry about that, Rick.
Yeah, I knew that. I don't know what the hell you said, Greg.
All right, later, guys.
Love you.
Yeah, that's okay. And, Mark, you're headed for Orchard Lake there. Apparently, it turns out we're neighbors. I'm over here on Walnut Lake.
Well, I don't know about such. I was on Maple Road. I hit Orchard Lake, and I'm just trying to hit the bank before heading home. I live on Orchard Lake, down south area.
Oh, okay. I'm right over here on Lone Pine and near Middlebelt there. We're not on the lake, but we're in a subdivision that's attached to the lake. We got access to the lake. I like to go down there in the spring and in the fall and let the rest of them have it during the summer. I end up with the place down there all to myself.
Now, that's nice. That's a nice setup. Heck yeah. So, very good. Well, look, I'm getting up to the bank right now. I'm going to have to let you go. So, I'll bid 73 for now, and we'll talk again. NIHA will be clear up to you, sir.
Okay, Mark, nice talking with you, and hopefully talk with you again. Have a good day, and be careful out there. KEWJ, I'll be clear.
KE8FCR.
Good afternoon, Mike, N8WRO.
Good afternoon, Tim. How are you doing this afternoon?
Pretty darn good, sir. It's the weather, I think. I really am enjoying this. I was hoping we were going to get a little extra oomph before summer was completely over with. Hey, I wanted to let you know I did confirm with Aaron that the 23rd is indeed where we need to meet for St. Clair Arcs.
Yeah, the warm weather is definitely a nice little relief before we get into the cold. However, I'd prefer the cold here pretty soon since deer season's around the corner. But perfect. 23rd it is then. I think it's at 7 p.m. if I recall correctly. I'll be there. If you want to meet in town beforehand, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, I figure we should. Maybe we could just use FBI for a short trip up there. So yeah, we could meet in Richmond someplace. We'll figure it out then, and he did mention it's at the EOC at the airport, and I do know where that's at. He's given me a tour before, so happy to take you through there. And looking forward to it. I haven't been to one of their ARPS meetings yet.
Awesome. Yeah, just using FBI sounds great, and I'm looking forward to it as well. Looking forward to seeing the St. Clair County EOC. I've driven past that airport a number of times and wanted to pull in. I do have my private pilot's license, so little airplanes are fun to me, but it seems like there's a decent little business almost district in there, and I didn't know the EOC was there. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was quite impressive. You'll see it when you, and yeah, it is a little bit of an industry, and it's also, it's right in the name, right? It's a county government section in there, you know, the road, you know, there's, you know, you'll see it when you walk in and when we come in, but it'll be fun.
Awesome, yeah, I agree. That'll be great. I'm just driving back from work right now. Figured to throw the call out and see who was around. And 12 mile usually gives me trouble with BMR, so I've tuned into the Warren FBI machine and decided to key up. Still having perception issues on analog, so I catch like every other word you're saying.
All right. Well, I'll make it short then, but you're more than welcome to join the 7.2 net tonight, 7 o'clock, and we got myself, I'll be back up, and John's going to be running the net. So we got the JV team in tonight, so if you're interested, feel free to check in.
All right. I appreciate the invite, as always. I think I might just be able to check in tonight. So, if I do, I will see you on the 7-2.
Sounds good, Mike. We'll talk then. N8WRO, after you.
All right, yeah, we'll say 7-3s for now. I might ping DMR once I get on to 94, but, 7-3s, N8WRO, this is KD8FCR.
N8WRO, KD8ZSK, copy.
N8WRO, yes I do, go ahead.
This is Keith. I work over on this side of town, but can't usually make the 7-2 from my home QTH in Kansas. Anyway, did you join the Wayne County ARPSC net, last night? I was going to say thank you.
Certainly, sir. My pleasure. I've done it for quite a few weeks in a row now, but I quite enjoy trying to check into both your net and then Oakland's as well. And I actually, for a while there, I was doing the state net as well when Jeff was simulcasting it on VHF, UHF, Sunday nights. I find that interesting as well. Over to you.
All right, yeah, very nice. And, Macomb is rebuilding their team, so I don't know which county you're living in, but all three are pretty active right now, Wayne County, Oakland County, and Macomb County, and trying to make sure the RPSCs are populated with people that know how to get communications going in case there's a jam.
Yes, sir, I appreciate that. I started in the spring, and I believe our EC, Dave and Mike, the DEC, doing a great job, and I'm kind of doing HR for them, so I realize that you helped out with that to get us back going again, so greatly appreciated your guidance during those times. I wasn't here then, but I see what happened.
Okay, well, you're very welcome. Yeah, and if I can ever help with anything, let me know. Good for the region. Southeast Michigan has a lot of
call, Dave.
I concur with that, too, and we're having some success with the postcard project that we started. We got two new members, and both the members brought DMR radios with them, so I'm going to consider that a win.
Sure, that is a win, and let's see, one of our AEC, Jeff Grandessa, he's over at the Coast Guard up to the coast. He brought in from his experience there.
Getting a little crunchy on that last one, sir. You want to try again? I'll listen.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm moving away from the repeater. But, yeah, Jeff Grandessa. Jeff Grandessa. KPDOI is in the Coast Guard Auxiliary. He's probably the same person. So, glad to hear that you guys are working with,
trouble hearing you, so I guess we might have to cut it short right now, but I am usually out here, FBI 7.2 or statewide 1. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. Always a pleasure.
Anyway, I'm moving with either 7.8, good afternoon. Yeah, always.
KEHWOJ on the FBI University. Anybody out there can give me a quick audio report on this brand spanking new hour old radio?
KEHWOJ. Sounding great on my end.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. yeah, I was in the, it was like always, as soon as I got the radio, I was in this big rush to get on the air with it. So I was surprised it only took me an hour. But anyway, thank you very much. It's a decent little thing, and it looks like it's going to work just fine. But I appreciate it. Have yourself a great evening and a safe rest of the week and weekend. KEHWOJ.
All right. Well, thank you. You do the same. And like I said, it sounds great on my end. And congrats on getting the program in only an hour. KEHWOJ is KEHSPR 7.3.
Yeah, thanks. I cheated a little. I used a code plug from another Anytone radios. I used a code plug from another Anytone, and it just popped right in there. So most of the time was fooling around with the settings rather than the programming. I kind of like that. Anyway, thank you very much, KEHWOJ.
KLL-KFA-DIC.
KFADRC, KEHWOJ.
Hello, Dom. How are you? You're sounding good.
Hey, Jack. How's it going? This is Rick over in West Bloomfield there. We were talking the other day about shooting.
Sorry, I haven't made a mistake by name. Okay, Rick. How are you?
Oh, that's okay. No problem. Yeah, I'm good. I just, whenever I hear you out there, I got to jump in and say howdy.
Any time, Rick. No problem at all. It's very nice day outside. No wind blowing. And I was outside about 40 minutes, and I just came inside to see who was online.
Yes, sir. I'm the same. I spent most of the day out on the porch here, and I'm out here again having a cigar and playing with a new radio.
And you got a new handheld? Yeah, I got another, it's UHF, VHF, and DMR. Oh, I see. Yeah, you're sounding good on that one. Did you get programmed the whole thing at one time? Or it takes a little bit of time? No, I got delivered about an hour ago, and I cheated a little bit, though. These Anytones, their CPS software, I got an 878 handheld, and I just took the code plug from that and loaded it into this, and it took off right away, so I didn't have to spend any time on programming. Most of the time I spent on it was just changing, you know, settings and putting in my DMR ID and, you know, fooling around in the settings kind of thing, but yeah, it's kind of fun. I like it. I was afraid the audio was going to be bad, but apparently it's not too bad.
No, the audio is not bad. The signal is good. 5x9 here. So you're doing good. I don't know what you on. Are you on West Schofield repeater? That ABC, ATC?
Yep, exactly. That's where I was going to tell you there. I was on the West Bloomfield repeater. You used to live over this way, didn't you? Off of Walnut Lake Road? I'm right off of Walnut Lake. I'm only about a mile from the repeater.
I used to live, yeah, on Walnut Lake and Greenbrier. I used to live there, but, you know, I moved out of there. A little bit long time ago, but, you know, I still go there. I was out there yesterday till about 7 o'clock, and I came home.
I know I hear you all the time. It seems like you're always in your mobile going one place or another. Well, good for you. I don't leave the house a whole lot. Doctors and pharmacy and grocery store, and that's about it for me.
I used to go to that the Rite Aid in that corner, Drake and Walnut. I used to go there and get my, you know, a little grocery, you know, chewing gum. I like the Doublemint chewing gum. And I used to buy the milk from there and some sugar and all that little stuff.
Yeah, I go by there all the time on the way to Myers over there up at Hagerty there. And the Rite Aid's gone there on the corner, gone for a while now. I guess there wasn't enough business there.
I guess so. That place is empty. That is a good corner for something else, but I can't remember what that you know, it looked like right now.
Yeah, it's been empty for a little bit, but it seemed like I go by there quite often, and it seemed like there was some trucks there, and it seemed like somebody was working on something, so maybe somebody else is moving in now.
Yeah, I thought you know, I don't mind putting a grocery store there. It'd do good over there because you got a lot of, you know, a lot of way you make friends, and also good got good chunk of houses down there too.
Yeah, and there seems to be plenty of traffic right there. So I usually go by there about 6 in the morning. I try to get over to Meyer when they open up there before the traffic and school buses and all that stuff, you know, all the folks headed for work, so I can get home before he gets. Whoops. Sorry about that.
You know, I don't know. I know where Myers is, but that corner, you know, where the cell phone right now, it used to be our store there. I mean, I was speaking about 25 years ago. We used to call it a Bluefield Princess. I don't know if you ever heard that one or not.
No, I'm not familiar with that. I've been over in the area about 20 years or so, but I didn't really kind of get over that way very much until lately. Last couple of years, I found out a quick way to Meyer right up Walnut Lake there, and
so I've been going over there. I kind of enjoy that last, 2 miles of gravel road there. I mean, it reminds me of being up north.
I used to drive down there, too. And it really was nice, anyhow. All right, Rick, you take care and have a good day. We'll talk again. don't be shy. We'll talk again. Take care. KFA-DRC.
Okay, Jack, we'll do always good hearing from you. You take care. Be careful out there. KEWOJ, catch you later.
N8CLH is monitoring mobile.
Grand Blanc was Ascension.
there. Where's that? Right up on Holly Road.
To get to fend off the striking nurses.
Yeah, they had a door latch issue. We took care of it. And once the door was slamming, so we adjusted that too.
My brother is just down the road from there. He's on the county line on the Holly side, so I went to his house last week and around the corner, I was like, what the heck is going on here? Is there a parade or something? And I remember the nurses are on strike.
I don't know if it's a strike, or if it's one of those informational pickets, you know, where they pick it in the morning and then they go into work and they come back out and pick it again.
Yeah, I believe they're on strike, but I think it's one of those strikes where they can't not work. You know, you got a strike on your off time.
Yeah, it's called an informational, something like that. We did that. We didn't really strike, but we picketed. We went outside of here, not on the property or on public property like sidewalks and stuff. And you just stand out there and do your thing, and then when it's time for your shift, you go in and do your shift.
Yeah, we have to deal with that every once in a while. With the union striking, we tend to try to work from home whenever possible.
Yeah, normally in our district, we don't cross the line, but here it was, but where we were at, it's, the techs are, non-union.
Yeah, I don't remember the last strike they got to the tech center. Mostly just shut down the plants. They're striking at the plants, and then, they were playing the shadow game that year. I remember that negotiation time.
I'm just the type of person, I just want to do my job and be left alone. That's usually what happens.
Yeah, I don't know, they have some goofy rules that really I don't think are benefiting anybody. Sometimes it's just where you're at and how well they enforce them. It's like I've been in the lab working with an engineer tearing apart a car, and nobody bothered you. And then you go in a different lab, and so much as look at a screwdriver, they're writing grievances against you.
Yeah, it all depends on whose toes you step on or whatever else, Some of them are easy to get along with. Other ones, they're so hardcore, you can't even sneeze without them getting permission from them.
Sort of rule where they have to have a direct skilled trade person or something like that at the same time that, like, if they bring in a contractor, they have like a 1-to-1 ratio or something. I don't remember what it is. But they're doing plant changeovers, they have all these skilled trade guys over in there, and they've got nothing to do, so I liken it to, like, in a nursing home where they just push everybody in the hallway and they're all just sitting in a chair drooling, these guys sitting on their butts because they don't have anything to do because the plant's not running. They have to be there because they have people in there retooling the plant. It's like, why aren't these guys driving robots? They know how.
You figure in our office, we're shoppies, so, we're union, but we get paid by the company. We're not paid through the union kind of thing. And we have subcontractors, and we actually work quite well with them. So they respect us, we respect them, and they ask us for help, and, we help them out. They're a good group of contractors that we have.
Yeah, they bring in these integrators to do line changeovers. And these integrators, they don't hire anybody. They're all just job hopping. They're all contractors, job hopping, and nice to get these guys that have to drive these robots every day out there and program them and learn on them, but they just sit there Must be the contractor driving.
My buddy's son works over at Stellantis in Sterling Heights. I don't know what he does, but he lifts up the front end on something and puts a pin in somewhere, and then somebody goes the other side and they alternate. And there's days where he goes in, the line is stopped while they're doing something, but he gets paid to sit there. And when it starts up, he's ready to go.
Yeah, that's the way that job is. The body shop, they've got like a foosball table and a ping pong table and all sorts of stuff in the body shop. They've got a whole little lounge in there, and you find some, sometimes you'll go into a dark corner of a plant and there'll be some questionable things sometimes.
Yeah, as long as when you go in that dark corner and you walk out with a couple extra bucks, you're good.
My one of my old bosses when he worked for AMC, he was talking about how he's at one of the plants, I think over in Wisconsin or whatever, and he was a team lead, and there was somebody on his team that he had no idea who they were. They kept clocking in, and they would, he never knew who they were, and he started asking around, and found out lady had a little special corner of the plant, and made a little extra money on the side.
All right, then. That's a little bit different. A little sketchy.
Yeah, I guess she, got attention, and next thing you know, he went out to his car, and somebody had driven the forks of the forklift through the side of his doors. I think he was on a rotation or something, and his boss said, "All right, you're on to your next rotation."
There's a dark corner, all of a sudden you're paying, penny poker or something like that. And then you put the funds, the wings, it's all donated to a jar or whatever, then you guys get pizza, or Taco Bell or something. We used to do that when we worked at, when I was at Metro. They had no place to recycle batteries, or they just kept storing them up, and we'd take them and go and recycle them and put money towards a lunch fund. And then we buy everybody lunch in the office.
Yeah, that was when I was at a summer job at KUKA, and they had collected all the cans, and when you work Saturdays, the new guy has to take the cans in, and then you get the money, and they go have lunch or whatever, pay for lunch or breakfast or something. It's like, all right, I'll take the cans in. I'm on the clock, and go up to Meyer, and, some lady's like, oh, you can go right in front of me. No, I'm on the clock. Go ahead. took the cans in and got our meal.
That's what everybody used to do in my office when my daughter was in 4-H. Nobody returned the cans, so we used to stack them up and collect them, put them in a big box, and I take them and give them to the 4-H club, and they turn them in, and that went towards awards and everything else like that for the horse shows. So there's benefits to it. The shady stuff, that's a different story. Don't even want to touch that one.
Yeah, those are the good fundraiser drives. Collect all the cans, and I don't know, I've been at the office late. I was helping with the robotics team, and you'd see the skilled trades guy roll around on his bike. He'd flip open the recycling bin and go dig around for cans. And I was like, really? Give him garbage picking while you're on the clock here?
one reason why I like going on the west side and doing all these long distance runs. I started at 8 o'clock, you know, on Grand Blanc, and got done at 4:30, 5:30. Well, I cleared the job at 5:30, and I'll be home by 7:30. So I'll get 3 hours of overtime just for travel.
Do you get per diem for lunch and everything too, or are you gonna pay that?
If we, like, when we went up to Petoskey, after the ice storm, we had so much work up there just trying to get it done, and it was so cold that we took 2 days. Company covered the hotel, and they covered our meal, you know, our dinner, and then they covered our travel time on the way back home, you know, because that's like, you know, 4.5 hours. But the way my co-worker, you know, the dude that I usually work with, the other access camera guy, we just work hand in hand, and our boss lets us do what we, you know, do what we want, almost, because, you know, we'll take care of whatever is needed. And we don't take a lunch. We usually either eat on the fly, or we'll stop long enough to grab a quick bite, and then we just keep going. We just keep pumping out the runs. Had to change towers.
Yeah, it's like when we go to a tower site, those guys just go and start in the morning, and they don't stop until they're done. And I'm getting hungry, man. I usually bring a sandwich or something so I can at least get something in my belly for lunch or whatever. Yeah. Sometimes those are long days with no food.
Yeah, I mean, when we go up to, you know, when we go, like, up to Petoskey or something like that, we're like, okay, you know, before we totally get there, we'll stop and we'll eat, you know, just, you know, we'll grab Arby's that's up there, or, you know, Arby's. Last time we had, you know, pizza and spaghetti or whatever. We ate lunch, and then we'll stop, and when we're all done, we drove home. You know, but usually we'll bring a lunch. We'll bring a bunch of snacks as I travel. Stop and get gas, and I'll get a little bit more snacks or sandwiches out of the cooler or whatever else, and just keep going.
Yeah, you got travel time between jobs, that's a good time to grab a bite too, or just eat a sandwich while on the drive or whatever.
Yeah, I'll do that too. I'll run through a drive-thru and get a couple chicken wraps or something, and we just keep going. I mean, we're entitled to a half-hour lunch and 2 15-minute breaks, but, I mean, kind of like your break is when you're driving. And between he and I mean, we drive so much that it just we're in tune with it. You know, we're not installers where we stop and take an hour lunch or whatever, or, you know, waste time. You know, we go like, okay, let's, you know, I'm going to grab a quick bite here. We'll run through a drive-thru and we'll just keep going.
Yeah, when you got that drive time, when you're not sitting at one location all day. Sometimes it's nice just to get it done instead of having to stop and lose the momentum.
Right, that's one thing we don't like doing is losing momentum. You know, so we just, you know, we can have to do all the runs that we did today on Grand Rapids. Yeah, like it's we could finish up a Grand Rapids just left. It's like, we promised to do it, so let's do it. They just asked me, can you do this? Can you do this? I'm like, yeah, sure. So it was a little bit longer, you know, travel here, and here. Usually we try to group it into like one city, Grand Rapids, Battle Creek, Kalamazoo, or Steven or something. And all that depends on what it is. And usually the runs that we're doing are, you know, quick. So we're as we go.
Well, just hit Grand Blanc and found the rain. Finally found the rain.
Oh, yeah, it's windy. It'll be blowing around.
Yeah, that's what I got hit with first, was like a whole tree worth of leaves flying into the, onto the highway.
I have something between three towers, Holly, Flint, and a other one. So try and figure out which one's the better.
Where are you at?
Lake Nipissing Road.
Holly would probably still be better there, but you're kind of probably starting to get towards the end of the leash. I don't know what the next UHF machine is that way.
And I can give you guys a little advice on where the best coverage is for Holly, Burt, Mayville, Flint, because I live up here in Holly.
Yeah, I'm on the Mayville repeater right now. I tried Holly. It's kind of sketchy, but let me try it again. KCKKJO. Nope, just panicky. I'm back. Mayville, KCKKJO.
Yeah, I think you're far enough east for Mayville's bus.
KFADFV. Yeah, Holly, I'm near downtown Holly, and Holly is solid even in Waterford, but West Bloomfield is stronger. You get north of Holly, even up in downtown Flint. The Flint repeater is stronger, but it doesn't have much coverage. Mayville, if you get to the east, a little bit north of, like, Helmont and all that area tends to be better.
Hey, Dale. Yeah, I think the Flint machine's got something going on with it. I remember, I think it's like going out at 5 watts or something like that. But yeah, Holly pretty much covers anything that Flint does. Then once you run out of Holly, you can get into the Burt when you're going north.
Yeah, it's a little sketchy between Mayville and Holly. You know, it comes up and it goes down. I hear it clear and then it goes staticky. But, you know, yeah, it's part of the course.
Yeah, you're on the fringe and in drain.
Stay dry.